Scripture readings today come from the book of Acts and the book of John. The first one is Acts 5, 1 through 4. But a man named Ananias and his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property, and with his wife's knowledge, he kept back for himself some of the proceeds and brought only a part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did you not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God." John 14, 26. "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you to remembrance all that I have said to you." This is the word of the Lord. And now, because I neglected it earlier, I want to introduce our speaker today, Reverend Dan Crouse, who is the chaplain at the jail in Plymouth. And he is a good friend of ours, people that have been here before, so. But anybody that's new, Dan the man.
In case you're wondering, does he really work at the jail? One of your congregants here can testify. My friend Stephen, he works there too. He does the maintenance and makes sure everything's upkept. And there's a lot of stuff that can go wrong in a big building like that. So praise the Lord for him. So anyway, the scripture we had read in Acts 5 was just a little thing that I wanted to share about the Holy Spirit, that, and that's what we want to talk about today is the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is God. There is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. How many gods?
One.
I know that's kind of hard to explain for someone without the Spirit of God. But and the closest I've come to explaining it, and I know I've shared this before, but for maybe some of the new people, to try to explain the Trinity, or more accurately, the triune God, would be water. You know, water, as you know, can be liquid, fluid. But if we put it in the freezer, it can become solid. If we put it on the stove and boil it, it can turn to steam or vapor. But whether it's fluid, ice, solid, or vapor, or steam, it is still all one in essence. They are H2O. Can I get an amen? So too, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one in essence. They are the true and living God. And we've been talking a lot about it lately, Bible study and other things. So as I was speaking at a church one day, they were doing a study on the Apostles' Creed. And the day they asked me to come, it was on the Holy Spirit. They said, "Would you feel comfortable doing it?" I said, "Sure, yeah, you know, I haven't really looked into that, done a message on it, so let me look into it." So I came up with this message that I wanted to share with you. So the Holy Spirit, first off, let's just start with spirits. Do you realize there is a lot of spirits? Do you know that? Almost everything is spirit. It's pretty amazing when you get in the Bible and look at this. There are unclean spirits, or evil spirits, or demonic spirits. They're all one and the same. What are they? Fallen angels. Even the devil himself is a fallen angel. He was Lucifer, the most beautiful angel of all, who led the choir in heaven. And one day, pride or sin entered into his heart, and he decided, "I want to be like God." And then he said, no, wait, cancel that. I want to be God. I want to be better than God. And that's when God, as it were, said, "Okay, bink, you're out of here." And he came down and became Satan. So that's where we get the devil and demons. In fact, Matthew 25 says hell was created for the devil and his angels. So this is where we get these things in the Bible where people are possessed with an unclean spirit or a demonic spirit or an evil spirit. They can possess people. They can possess animals. And they are powerful. You know, the one angel, and angels too are spirits, by the way, but they are powerful. And when you look at the spiritual realm, you'll be amazed how vast and wide it is. So we have, again, fallen angels, unclean spirits, evil spirits, demonic spirits. That's one part of spirits, all right? The regular angels who did not fall, they are spirits. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13 says, with regard to angels, are they not ministering spirits? They are spirits who minister to God, serve God, and serve us. You know, there are a lot, let me just say, there's a lot going on behind the scenes. I'm serious. I am dead serious. In fact, the Bible, Jesus makes mention one time saying, be careful how you treat these little ones. Whether he was talking about children or people young in the faith, he said, be careful how you treat these little ones, because I tell you the truth, they're guardian angels. Behold the face of my Father in heaven. So these spirits, they serve God, they serve us. The evil, unclean spirits, they serve Satan, and they try to torment or hurt us. But they're all spirits. Let me go a step further. God is spirit. We read that in the bulletin. John 4:24. Jesus said, God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship how? In spirit and in truth. So, your angels are spirits. The demonic angels, unclean, the evil spirits. God is spirit. Jesus said in John 6:63 that the words I speak to you, they are spirit and life. But then there's also people. I'm a trichotomist. I believe in the trichotomy. You say, what's that? Well, that is man is made up of three things. Tri for three. A body, a soul, and a spirit. That's what I believe the Bible teaches. Paul says it in the end of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. He says, I pray that God would preserve your body, soul, and spirit. And I say that because there are some who are dichotomists, and they believe that man is made up of a body, and the soul and spirit, they squish them together. Nothing to lose sleep over. But one is material, of course. The others are immaterial. But we have a spirit. Now, to the dichotomist credit, I will say they believe that since our spirit was dead and we needed to be born again, we received the Holy Spirit. That's how we get a spirit. But the scriptures in Romans chapter 8, verse 16 says that the Holy Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. All that to say, unclean spirits, angels are spirits, God is spirit, the words are spirit, and people have a spirit. That's all I wanted to say. Welcome to the spiritual realm. And it gets pretty deep when you start thinking about it. We're not going to really swim too deep, but I just want to say that even 1 John 4, John writes, test the spirits, you know, because people can say some pretty crazy things. You know, when I was in college back in 91 to 95, you had to take a class on cults. If you were studying to be a minister, you had to learn about cults. You even had to go to a couple cult places and write a paper on them. And at that time, back in 92, I believe it was, there were over 6,000 cults. What I mean is people, and some of them use the Bible. What they do is they cut and paste. They take a verse here, Then they go over here, take this verse. Then they go back over here and take this verse. And then they come up with this theology or their study of God, and they have a cult. And that's why when your JWs come to your door, your Jehovah Witnesses, they will say, what does that verse say? Then they'll say, now read this verse. Then they'll say, now read that verse. They don't look at it in context. They just kind of cut and paste so they can have their own theology. But there were over 6,000 cults, 92. That was, what, 26 years ago. I would say there are probably more than 10 or 15,000 today. There are a lot of cults. And so John writes in the first letter in the back of your Bible, 1 John 4:1, that we are to test the spirits. Because, you know, there are unclean, evil spirits, demonic spirits, and then there is the Holy Spirit. So again, fallen angels are spirits, angels who have not fallen are spirits, God is spirit, words are spirit, people have a spirit, but then there is the Holy Spirit. And this is the one whom God said he would, Jesus said he would send after he ascends to heaven. And I just feel, so what does the Spirit do? Just wanted to look at it a little bit. One of the things the Spirit does is open our eyes. You know, the Bible says that the God of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they cannot see the gospel. And so God's Spirit opens our eyes. I'll give you a verse that you probably know. John 3:3. Jesus said to Nicodemus, truly, truly, I say to you, you must be born again. What does that mean? You must be born of God's Spirit. You're born once as a human being or to the flesh, but you must be born again to the Spirit of God. So Jesus says in John 3:3 that we must be born again. And what it says is, Jesus says again to Nicodemus, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Have you ever tried telling someone about God and they look at you like, you believe that? You know, you believe someone died, rose again. You believe that? They look at you like you're crazy. Unless the Spirit of God opens their eyes, they can't see the kingdom of God. They can't see it. I mean, think about it. We're asking them to believe in someone who walked this earth 2,000 years ago. This man was God with flesh on. He died and rose again. We're asking them to believe this. And that's why a lot of people say, no. Unless the Spirit of God opens their eyes, they can't see it. They find it hard to believe. They would rather believe the monkey story. You know? 20 billion years ago, big explosion, father meteorite came, and a couple DNA things were on there, and wham, we're all grown-up germs. Here we are. We all made ourselves. We're grown-up germs. Potty hotty, tomorrow you die. And they believe this. Because that's your only other choice. God, or we are all accidents. We just happened by chance, as they say. Well, the Holy Spirit, again, opens people's eyes. Again, Jesus said to Nicodemus, truly, truly, I say to you, unless someone is born again, they cannot see the kingdom of God. He says two verses down in verse 5, again, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Again, he's talking about flesh and spirit. Some want to say it's baptism. No, it has nothing to do with baptism. How many here have had children? Most of the women here have had children. What happens before the child comes out? The water breaks, yeah. Yeah. I don't know if you ever thought about this, but try chewing on it for a little bit. For approximately 9 months, you and I were Aquaman. Chew on that. You were living in a sack of water for 9 months. Try doing that now. Try living underwater for a couple minutes. See how you make out. You know, there was a thing on Facebook. I don't know if you saw a little video of a C-section. And the baby was still in the sack of water. Did anybody see that? It was amazing. How in the world can someone mold and shape the heart, brain, muscle, tissue, bones, and everything else inside a sack of water, and then it breaks and comes out and starts crying, and it's alive? I mean, you want to tell me it's just a grown-up germ? I mean, does thou have a brain? You know, give me a break. That's so miraculous. I saw all four of my children come out of the womb, and I cried every time. I mean, it was unbelievable to see this little live child come out. And I don't know how anybody can see that and say there is no God. But the Holy Spirit, again, enables this to happen and opens people's eyes so they can realize, number one, that I'm a sinner, I fall short of the glory of God, and number two, there is one way out of this mess. And his name is Jesus. He died once and for all on a cross to pay for our sins. Whosoever believing in him will not perish, but they will have eternal life. Can I get an amen? Amen. So the Holy Spirit does this. He did it to me in jail. Many of you know, they don't give you a Bible in school, but if you go to jail, they give you one. Isn't that great? And so I read the Bible at 27 years old and realize, yikes, I'm in trouble. Thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not steal. I've done all these things. And these will be cast into outer darkness. There shall be weeping, gnashing of teeth. And I knew right away he's talking about hell. And so I went to the chapel and I asked the chaplain, I said, hey, it says outer darkness, weeping, gnashing of teeth. I said, we talking about it? He said, yes, we are. You need to be saved. And when he said that, the officer said, come on, kid, move it. You know, and the chap said, wait a minute. Do you believe Jesus died for your sins? I said, yeah, chaplain, I believe that, but I got a lot of them. I'm 27 years old. I've been doing this stuff all my life. He said, Jesus Christ died once and for all for the sins of the world. He said, when you go back to your cell, get on your knees and say, God, I know I've sinned against you. But I believe Jesus died on that cross for my sins. He was buried. He rose again. I want you to come into my life. And he did. The Spirit of God came in. And all of a sudden, he made me feel guilty about the cigarettes. In the old jail, you could smoke. And I smoked a couple packs a day. I did for years. And all of a sudden, it feels dirty, and I don't know why. And so I throw it in the toilet, and I grab my Bible. Is there anything in here about cigarettes? You know, what's up with this, you know? And there isn't, but it says this. What? Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, whom you have from God? And you are not your own. You've been bought with a price, namely the precious blood of Jesus. Therefore, glorify God in your body. And so when I read that and chewed on it and thought about it, I said, wow, if the Holy Spirit's in me, I probably should be pumping this stuff in. And right at that moment, the guy next door says, hey, you got a smoke over there? I said, yeah, you know what? Keep him. I'm done. I should have thrown him in the toilet, but I gave him to him. And that was the last time I smoked. The Spirit of God convicted me of cigarettes. And then marijuana. And then drugs. And then drinking. And then fighting. And swearing and all. The Spirit of God was making me feel guilty about these things. And it's like, I don't want to do this anymore. I feel so low and dirty every time I do wrong. I want to do what's right. I'm tired of doing wrong. And so the Spirit of God, what does he do? He opens our eyes, he convicts us of our sin, and he empowers us to say, no, I don't need that anymore. That's what the Spirit of God does. The Holy Spirit, whom the believer receives. Jesus said, and here's where we want to go, John 14. We're just going to look at a few verses, we're done. But John, if you want to see what Jesus says about the Holy Spirit, the Gospel of John, chapter 14, 15, 16, those three chapters talk about the Spirit of God. I'm only going to pull out five verses and we're done. But go to John, chapter 14, and look at the first verse here. It's actually 15 and 16. Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 15 and 16. What page are we on in the Pew Bible? 6076? 16. 1676. All right. So John 14, notice verses 15, 16 for context. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. What are they? Only two. Love the Lord with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Then he says, verse 16, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you, how long? Forever. Who is he? Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be where? In you. Think about this. Remember, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He's saying God the Holy Spirit will be in you. Think, chew on this. Think about this. God, if you're a Christian, is in you. And he gives you the power to say no to sin. First off, he shows you what sin is. I mean, I just named the blatant ones, you know, for somebody on the street. You know, swearing, fighting, drugs, drinking. Those are the blatant ones. Then there's the ones that are not so open. Gossip. Hello? Got quiet all of a sudden. You know, envy, pride. You know, the list goes on. He convicts you of those. He makes you feel guilty about those. But the good news is, he gives you the power to say, no, I'm not doing that anymore. He gives you the power to say, no, I'm not doing that. The Holy Spirit will live inside us. And that's what happens with the believer. This is what he does. He convicts you. He empowers you. He opens your eyes. He helps you see there is a way out of this mess. Believe on Jesus. And he shows you how to live righteously. The next verse is 26, which we read earlier. Verse 26, Jesus says again, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you some things, many things, most things, all things. He will teach you all things. And he will bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Have you ever been talking to someone or been in a situation and all of a sudden you think of a Bible verse? You ever done that? It's the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you when I see it, you know, being an ex-fighter, growing up in a, I used to box and stuff in a tough area, so I hung up the gloves when I was 21, and I don't really watch fighting that much anymore. But sometimes, if it's clicking by, I'll watch it for a little while. And I remember a few times in this MMA thing where they do everything, kick, fight, everything, you know. This one guy jumping around like, you know, he's going, you know, man, I'm the man. And all of a sudden, the bell rings, one punch, he's out cold. And what verse comes to mind? Anybody want to take a guess? What verse? What verse comes to mind when I see something like that? I think of a verse of Scripture. Pride comes just before the fall. I mean, the Holy Spirit brings to remembrance everything Jesus taught, because everything he said is true. Everything. And when I see situations, I see the truth of it. You know, there's that's what the Holy Spirit does. He brings to remembrance everything that he taught. In fact, when I went back on the iron, I think I told you this, when I went back on the iron and began hanging the iron beams in the skyscrapers in Boston, which is what I did before as a Christian, I remember being up there, way up high one day, as a Christian now, looking at all the buildings I built, and thinking, you know, the back of the Bible, it says one day, John says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old one had passed away. And so I'm looking at these buildings and I'm thinking, you know, one day God's going to level this place. Could be a nuclear war. I don't know, but it's going to be fire. It says it'll be destroyed by fire. It doesn't really say how, but it could be, you know, nuclear. I don't know. But one day it's going to be leveled. All right. So that means if I keep building the buildings, that means I will work my whole life for nothing. So I began thinking, I would like to do something that will last forever. And the Bible mentions the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, is forever. So I want to tell people about Jesus so they can enter the kingdom of God, live forever. And so he brought to remembrance what the Word says, that there'll be a new heaven, new earth. Notice what it says in John 15, verse 26. Same verse, but next chapter. Almost the same thing. It says again, when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. That's what happens when the Holy Spirit is in you. You end up talking a lot about Jesus. You ever notice that? You're talking to someone and whatever. Maybe they're thinking of hanging it up. You know, you want to give them meaning, hope. You know, there's a reason. You're telling them about God. You know, there's a reason to live. There's a purpose. You know, there's a lot more than here and now. Yeah, I know this life is... One day this is all going to be gone. All this sin will be gone. One day we'll be in heaven. No more sin, no more pain, no more suffering. Just hold on. Trust in Jesus. You know, the Holy Spirit bears witness of Jesus. And then in chapter 16, last two verses, verses 13 and 14, notice what it says. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into, there's that word again, all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and declare to you the things that are to come. And notice verse 14, he will glorify me. Not Danny, Jesus. Jesus saying the Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It's almost like the Holy Spirit doesn't like the limelight. He doesn't like to be out front. You know, he convicts, he empowers you, he's inside you. He doesn't like the front stage. But he wants to glorify Jesus. Because there is no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. Remember what Jesus said before he ascended. All authority in heaven and in earth has been given unto me. Therefore, as you are going, make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all that I commanded. And lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. That's what the Spirit of God does. Who is he? He is God. Where does he live? In the believer. What does he do? He convicts. He empowers. He opens eyes. He leads us into truth. He teaches us. He brings to remembrance what Jesus said. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit. That was the down payment that God gave to ensure our position or place in heaven one day. That's what he does. Now, the question arises, who are we being led by? Are we being led by ourselves? By the devil? By Satan? By worldly philosophies? Or are we being led by God? If we're in the Word, no Bible, no breakfast. If we're in the Word, he will remind you what we're here for. We're here to be the light of the world, amen? This world is a dark place. Without God, you know, people do get depressed. People do try to hang it up. Because without God, life really doesn't have too much meaning at all. So we are the light of the world. We are to give people a hope and a meaning and a reason to life, and it can be found in Jesus, that there's a lot more going on behind the scenes, and one day we're going to live forever. Either in heaven or in hell, we're all going to live forever. The only way out is through Jesus, to believe on him. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Only he can wash our sins away. We all got them. We all got them. If you're honest, we've all had bad thoughts. We've all said bad things. We've all done bad things. If you're honest, the only one who can take that sin away is Jesus. That's what the Bible tells us. And if we believe on him, the Bible says we have, not might have, we have eternal life with him. It's coming. It's coming. One day we're going to leave here. One day we're going to leave. So far, one out of one leaves. I want to be with Jesus. Can I get an amen? We want to believe in him. So, Why is this Holy Spirit so important? Again, he lives in us, he dwells in us, he empowers us, he convicts us, he shows us the right way, he teaches us all these things. He's so important, but we got to feed him. Now, what the Spirit of God enjoys is the Word of God. I'm going to close with a little story. This is a true story, by the way, of an Indian. I don't remember his name, but he was a famous Indian that lived way out in the jungle, all right? And what happened was he was a great warrior, killed many people, and his tribe was vicious. And one day, a missionary went out there and shared the gospel, the good news, that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, believing on him, will not perish but have everlasting life. So they shared the gospel with this Indian chief. He came to know the Lord. His tribe came to know the Lord. They became the light of the world in this dark place, and they lived what they believed. And so a reporter from a prominent newspaper here in the States got word of it and decided she wanted to go out and meet this man, do a story. It's a true story. So she jumps on the plane, and she's jumped in the airport, waiting for the plane, and she's asked somebody, so what are you doing? I'm going out to interview this chief. Said, oh, I heard about him. And she said, yeah, did you hear this? Yeah, great, killed a lot of people. Yeah, I came to go. Yeah, I heard all about it. He said, really? He said, but you need to ask him this question when you see him. I heard a few weeks ago he killed somebody. She said, really? He said, yeah, you might want to ask him about that. So she makes a little note, and she flies out to the jungle, meets the interpreter, takes this ride deep in the jungle, finds the Indian chief, and interviews him. So I understand you were a great warrior. Yes. You killed many people. Yes. What happened? A missionary came, shared the gospel. We believed in Jesus. Now we're loving and kind, peace and joy and all that. And so as the interview is concluding, she says, Chief, I got to ask you a question. I was told a few weeks ago that you killed somebody. You got upset and killed somebody. He said, you know, that is true. She said, well, what happened? And he said to the interpreter, it's kind of hard to explain, but he said, it's almost like I have these two bears inside of me. One is a good bear, and one is a bad bear. And so the reporter said, so the bad bear came out a few weeks ago. He said, yes, that's what happened. So she thought and said, Chief, how do you know on any given day, in any given situation, how do you know whether the good bear or the bad bear is going to come out? And the chief thought about it for a moment. He said, The one I feed is the one that comes out. Everybody got this? Looking like I'm losing you. Let's put our thinking caps on. Come on, you tie the knot. If you feed your mind with evil, the boob tube's a good place. Sex and violence, that's what sells. That's what they give you. They want to sell advertisements, so they put sex and violence so people will watch it and people pay advertisements. So if you're a clicker, couch potato, and you feed yourself this, guess which bear's coming out? This is not hard. Pornography, we can go on and on, all right? Whatever you put in the mind, there's a computer term among programmers called GIGO. Anybody know what it is? Garbage in, garbage out, right. Whatever you feed, be careful what you let in your heart and mind, because whatever you feed, that's what's coming out. You like the gossip, you like to believe the gossip and stuff, and it's going to come out. Be careful what you got. God. But if you want to feed the good bear, the Holy Spirit, no Bible, no breakfast. When you keep reminding yourself every day, and I got to do this as a minister. I know this thing pretty good, but I got to constantly remind myself, love, peace, joy, kindness. I don't want to hurt nobody anymore. I did enough of that when I was a non-Christian, all right? I got to constantly remind myself, I got to constantly feed the Holy Spirit the Word of God, because then the good comes out. Is everybody with me? That's what it's all about. We have God in us. But if we feed ourselves evil, the Holy Spirit's just going to stay on the back burner. And you're going to do things you're going to regret. Whether it's thinking, speaking, or acting, you're going to do things you're going to regret. But if the Holy Spirit is in you and you feed the Holy Spirit, you're going to do, say, and think what is good. And this is important because, as my dad told me, we all got to look in the mirror. Every day, you have to look in the mirror. You got to shave, brush your teeth, makeup, comb the hair, whatever. You have to look at that person in the mirror. And if you're feeding the Holy Spirit and doing what's right, it's not so bad. It's not so bad. You can look at that person. But if you're feeding yourself evil, the gossip, the violence, the sex, and you're feeding your mind evil things, you're going to look at this person and you're not going to like him or her. And you cannot run from this person. Because you go to China, they'll be there. Russia, same thing. Timbuktu, wherever you go, you cannot run from yourself, is what I'm saying. But if you're feeding the good bear and you're feeding the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and you're thinking, saying, and doing the right things, you can look at this person and you will like him. Because you're not hurting anybody. Can I get an amen? That is what the Holy Spirit does. We have the Holy Spirit, those of us who believe. Those of us who don't, the Bible says ask. Ask. Jesus said, what father, if the son asked him for eggs, would give him a snake? Or what father, if the son asked for a loaf of bread, would give him a scorpion? Nobody would do that. He said, if you then, being evil or sinful, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to them who ask him? He's there for the taking. And when we feed him, the good comes out. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for you, Father. There is no one like you, nobody. We love you, we praise you. We thank you that you give us truth. Even if it hurts, you always speak truth. We love you, we praise you. Thank you for your son who died for all the bad things we've done. Lord, we've all got him, we've all sinned. But your son paid for all our sins on the cross. He died for all of our sins. Thank you, Lord. And for your spirit who lives within us, Lord. Convicting us when we're thinking bad or about to say something bad. And even if we do something bad, you forgive us. You make us confess to you and you forgive us, Lord. Thank you for your spirit. Again, as we've entered to worship, Lord, we depart to serve. Help us to always remember we are the light of the world. God is in us. And we need to share this with a lost, dark, dying and cruel world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.